good morning. Welcome to this edition of Money Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everybody coming up. It's been a great celebration to this point. A lot going to be happening. I've got Chris Rudy, Mike Flaherty from Kingston Wealth Management with me today, and we've got a lot to talk about. This is we've talked and speculated about what would happen, what if this tax bill gets passed. We now have it, and I really want to break it down today. So we're going to spend the lion's share of today talking about that. Before we do that, I might just maybe we'll talk about, like we usually do. Start with you, Mike. The markets leading up to the tax announcement, still pretty strong for the most part.
Yeah, I think we've seen some of the rally here even recently, kind of pricing in the expectation of a bill agreement getting approved and getting the votes to pass that. But we've also seen this week GDP for third quarter was revised down slightly, mm-hmm. but I think from 3.3 down to 3.2. So again, over 3%, which is those numbers we're wanting and targeting. Right. So that's good, favorable news. And then we saw, you know, some news about housing, a lot of really good information positive on housing starts, builder confidence, some different things around there that it's really kind of looking into 2018. That's almost a bigger rally that people should be looking at than just what's happening in the stock market. Cause as we've mentioned many times on the show,
right,
that's really the foundation and builds that
it's the core.
Good core base for the country, individuals especially to rely on. So you talk about housing starts in November being up almost 13% year over year, second strongest month since the market bottomed out. Builder confidence, highest level since 1999, I think.
So, yep, 99.
You know, up anything over 50 is indicating kind of growth there and optimism. And then existing home sales in addition to home values. So home sales jumped 5.6% in November, which usually you would expect November, December are slow months yep. as you get more sales, and then the increase in price too. So, you know, almost on every front in the housing market, good favorable news, which should continue, you know, something to watch in 2018.
And I think the retail sales, the numbers for October, November, both solid. And I'm assuming that, Chris, we'll see December be the same thing. But talking about the tax plan, maybe I'll let you kick that off. You know, I'll preface it by saying I'm always amazed at when these announcements are made, you're going to get the one camp going to jump to the side that it's the world's worst thing that they've ever seen. We saw the Republicans do that when Obamacare passed, that it was going to be the end of the world as we know it. It's hyperbole that knows both sides of the aisle. The unfortunate part about that, and I think you guys would agree, nobody really knows until we see what this tax bill does. I mean, we know what it's structured to do, and we're going to talk about that today. But I would just encourage folks to let's wait and see what's going to happen in the next 6 months, the next year, year and a half, to see, you know, if this has more positive impacts than negative. And if it's negative impacts, I think those who got this bill through are going to feel that. But I got to think we need to keep an open mind. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think the truth is probably going to be somewhere in the middle. There's probably going to be, as you go through this, especially for folks in high tax states, I know we're going to maybe touch on some mm-hmm. of the things that opportunities that we can look at to kind of prepare for those. But yeah, you know, as with everything, when you have a major tax cut like this, when we have essentially a cut to the revenue that the government's going to receive, you've got to find a way to at least in some way pay for it. And that's, I mean, I think you're pointing out one of the big speculations is, well, what will this do to the kind of amounting debt and deficit that this will create? So, you know, there's definitely provisions in there that some folks, like the mortgage interest deduction for housing or for property taxes for larger loans in there. So some of the people that have, you know, maybe taken advantage of some of the things in this current tax code, that's going to be going away. But, you know, let's see how those offsets are and see how they impact. But I think for the vast majority of people, you're going to see some relief on this. And, you know, it was always geared as more of a corporate tax reduction bill.
Right. Be more competitive.
With some individual tax rates in there and changes. So I think that that's the case. In a really, even the very early stories, you've seen some of the major companies announce that they're going to do one-time bonuses,
yeah.
have pledged to do some mm-hmm. more spending for their company and infrastructure spending. So, you know, all the main talking points that I think we want to hear coming out of this, at least right now, very early on, are on track. But yeah, I would say give it time. Let's see how things are going to be laid out. But yet again, also look into, are there some things you can do maybe now in preparation for that to look at?
Yeah, and I think that's when we get into this discussion. I think we need to talk about that then. How do you use this tax plan? How do families then try to take what's there to figure out how it's going to help them, to figure out maybe are there some things that I've even seen right now that there's some folks in some of these larger states trying to take advantage right now in 2017 prior to this thing actually going online until 2018. So we're going to get in and talk a lot about those things because I think it's an important bill, one that needs to have some discussion. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to do just that. We'll talk about that tax bill and a few other things. Back in a minute.
When I ask our moms and dads why they chose Katie's Kids, they don't hesitate to tell me that it's the low adult-to-child ratio in our classrooms. And it's the experienced and patient teachers that guide and care for their children every day. Hi, this is Katie, owner of Katie's Kids Learning Center. Our primary caregiving model ensures your child receives the one-on-one attention they want and deserve. What's important to you? Call or come in today to Katie's Kids in Normal or in Bloomington, or visit us online at katieskids.net. Developing relationships, the heart of quality care.
Have you been to Baxter's Restaurant and Chop House lately? If you haven't, you're missing one of the best dining experiences in the area. Enjoy a certified Angus beef hand-cut steak, or perhaps some of their seafood that's flown in daily, as fresh as you can get. Baxter's also features fine wines and spirits to complement their menu choices. And don't forget about daily happy hour specials and gift cards for the holidays. When you're looking for an enjoyable lunch or dinner experience, look no further than Baxter's. Located on East Empire across from the airport and now open in Champaign-Urbana.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. We are here every Saturday morning. Talk about the things that financial things that go on in your lives, things that can have a major impact in families' buying decisions and how they're going to handle investing and saving for the future. We're going to spend a lot of time today talking about the implications of the new tax bill. Guys, we kind of laid out a little bit in the first segment about kind of what some of the things we thought about this thing conceptually. Mike, might start with you here. As far as the actual plan itself, when you're looking at the individual tax rate and brackets, what stands out to you?
Yeah, I think a couple things. You know, Chris hit on the kind of the corporate tax earlier, really going from 35 down to 21. And while that's being put in as really a permanent tax reduction, you know, these seven mm-hmm. tax brackets here are really seen as temporary through 2025. Right. So I'm sure over the next 7 years, you know, we'll evaluate how this is working and
right.
determine
extension.
If we can lower these further or extend them as
right.
they are in the current form. So, you know, the big one here, really, your 37% is going to be the top tax bracket versus where it's at today. So you got a little reduction there on the higher end. You may see some people probably in the single and head of households that are in that income between 200 and 400 that are probably going to go up a little bit because now they're in 33% bracket. They might go up to 35.
Right.
However, you may see some of that offset because the first 200 of income is going to be taxed at a lower bracket
sure.
than it is today. So that may offset. So as we talk about really the new brackets that are coming and maybe some things people could do, you know, we always talk about any of those year-end planning moves you could do that maybe pushes income into next year, right? So whether it's a bonus, things like that, maybe you get from work that instead of getting it paid on 12/31, maybe
right.
just paid on 1/2, 1/3. So it's part of next year's income, but then pulling any deductions into this year. So I think we'll get into some of these with property taxes, but even, you know, making that January mortgage payment on December 29th. So it's that interest, things like that are part of this year's deductions versus waiting. And of course we always talk about, you know, 401k and things like that.
If so you
being
still can
able
do
to
it.
Lower your income
yeah.
that way by getting some of that money deferred into your 401k, maybe here on this last paycheck or two.
Chris, talk a little bit about the higher standard deductions, also about some more of the exemptions that are out there, because I think that's what's going to hit a lot of middle America probably the most where they're going to see it.
Yeah. So basically, this is going to be a push from maybe 40% of the folks out there currently itemize their taxes. And I think I've seen some projections that maybe that number will drop to 15 or below. And that's because of what you just laid out, that the standard deduction that you can take for almost every filing class just about doubles. But we take away the personal and dependent exemptions, which, you know, would have been about 4,100 in 2018 was scheduled to be. But when we really look at this, it's a motivation of for, you know, married filing jointly, you're the first 24,000 of income that you have isn't going to be subject to tax. Yeah. So, you know, I think you're going to see a big impact, especially for those in the, I would say, lower to middle incomes, where it really is going to make a difference on how they're taxed. So there's really not much you really need to do other than just kind of monitor. Maybe if you're currently itemizing, that may be a decision that in 2018 you may not need to take advantage of the itemization, or it may not provide as much of a benefit as it does now because of the elevated standard deductions.
Good. Mike, what about when we talk about the limits on deductions, state and local? I hear a lot about, particularly some of the higher tax states, not liking this as well. Go over a little bit about what impact you see there.
Yeah, and I think this has kind of been one of the big, negatives to this bill that has been talked about. And really, right now, there's an unlimited amount of your personal state and local income tax and property tax that you can claim on an itemized deduction, right? So what they're doing is really changing this. Starting next year, that the new law is really going to limit any of that to a combined total of $10,000. So, I mean, that can change drastically, you know, especially, I mean, we talk about even locally property taxes and how people may have a significant property tax bill.
Yeah.
So if you're paying $12,000, $15,000, $20,000 property taxes, all of a sudden you're cut in half of what you can deduct. So one of the things, you know, as you mentioned, some of those high property tax states, high local state taxes, even, what we've seen is people prepaying where they can. So if you're in a situation, obviously we're running out of time here before 12/31, but if you're in a situation where you can prepay some of those taxes ahead of time before 12/31 for the 2018 tax bill, you know, that could benefit because now you're getting that deduction here in 2017 versus next year.
Yeah. Chris, looking down the line on some of these other things that have gone on, talk about something else that you've seen that might shed some light on what's going to happen in 2018 and beyond.
Yeah, I think one of the kind of key areas that we've seen debated and discussed was the medical expense deduction. And, you know, that's something that was vastly different from the House version, which would have essentially eliminated that. And the Senate version kept it in. Well, when they got together and kind of hammered out an agreement, what it's going to look like is actually that the new law preserves the deduction, and it actually expands to cover medical expenses in excess of 7.5% of your adjusted gross income, and it's currently 10.
That's what I thought.
So, you know, again, as we're looking at, well, what's the, you know, best way you can kind of plan for this, may consider actually having more elective expenses, elective medical things, in the next year, because you don't have to exceed as much of your adjusted gross income to take advantage of that deduction. So I think probably a good thing that was kept in there, because that can really make a difference for some people who, you know, again, continue to take that itemized piece and utilize it.
Well, especially if you've got high, you know, if you're in the Affordable Care Act and I have a high premium, you just add up the premiums and forget about, you know, how much service you have to have done or how much work you have to have done. It can be a big number. And so I think that's probably a pretty good suggestion. Mike, we've talked about how education is affected both now and going forward. What are the implications that you have seen so far on this bill that affects education?
Yeah, it looks like really they're going to leave those existing education tax breaks in place. So we've talked about it a little bit on this show, but like the American Opportunity Higher Education Tax Credit gives you up to $2,500 per undergrad student, or there's the Lifetime Learning Higher Education Tax Credit that gives $2,000 per tax return for secondary education expenses. So, you know, something people could do, specifically tuition bills that are due January through March. Again, you could prepay those in 2017 to kind of pull that deduction in now. But, you know, all that's going to stay in place. Probably the other big one for kids is really, well, it's not just education, but maximum child credit next year going from being increased to $2,000 per qualifying
right.
child.
Yeah.
So again, as we talked about the standard deduction increasing, here's another deduction for those individuals with children.
You know, I know, Chris, we haven't talked a lot of time this morning about the corporate side of the equation, but for me, that may be one of the most, if not the most significant thing that was a part of that bill, because we've talked a long time that we have not been competitive enough with countries that we compete with respect to where our tax bill is. What do you make of that 21% coming down from the 35%?
Well, I think it's huge. I think it will not only incentivize, well, and I think that's the main goal, incentivize to keep business here, but then also with the, you know, one-time repatriation availability at an even lower percentage. I didn't see the final verdict on that, but it was around 14%. So companies that have had, you know, just stockpiles of revenue overseas can bring that back at a lower rate, again, with the idea of infusing the economy, creating some jobs that, again, we're not the lowest in the world, but going from 35 to 21, I think, is going to be huge for the economy.
Great segment, guys. When we come back, we got one more topic we'll talk about back in just a minute.
Our parents take care of us through every stage of our life. They hold our hand as we take our first steps. They cheer us on as we move through life's milestones. And they celebrate with us as we venture into the world as adults. When it comes time to focus on caring for our parents, show them how exciting retirement living can be at Westminster Village. Westminster Village, a continuing care retirement community, offers more than a place to live. They offer a worry-free lifestyle with ample opportunities to celebrate every step of life's next journey. Westminster Village provides independent living, licensed assisted living, and skilled nursing care, so our parents are always taken care of. Our parents guided us through all of life's adventures. Now's our chance to help them celebrate theirs. To learn more about the finest in retirement living, visit westminstervillageinc.com and schedule an appointment today. That's westminstervillageinc.com.
When is the last time your bank did something exciting? Something truly amazing? It's time you discover Bloomington Normal Community Bank, your home for amazing banking experiences.
With the Amazing Account, your checking account earns an annual percentage yield of 5.01% on up to $5,000, rewarded to you in points.
Then you can redeem these points for gift cards, travel, merchandise, even cash.
Plus, there are other ways your Amazing Account earns points, like using your debit card. So why choose ordinary when you can have something amazing?
Some conditions apply. Come see one of our amazing bankers. We have time for you. Bloomington Normal Community Bank, a division of Morton Community Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Hope you're all planning a very festive Christmas and year-end, New Year celebration. It's a great time. A lot of folks give back this time of year, and we certainly encourage that as well. We want to thank our sponsors who have been with us the entire year, and always glad to have them. Bloomington Normal Community Bank, Baxter's Grill right here in Bloomington and Champaign, Katie's Kids Learning Center, and, of course, Westminster Village, and the fine, fine companies here doing work in McLean County. Guys, in the time we have left, I want to touch on one subject because we talk about comprehensive planning, what it is, why it matters. Mike, we're not going to go into the whole thing, but this time of year is really a time to maybe reflect on that. Why is it so important?
Yeah. We, as you mentioned, talk about it all the time on our show. And I think it's stuff that Chris and I strongly believe in, and that's what our whole business model is really built around. And I think, you know, as you talk about what it is, right, I think people hear that term comprehensive financial planning and they wonder, well, what does that entail and what does that mean, right? I have investments and I have insurance over here and I have my bank account here. Really, the idea is to bring all of that together under, you know, a holistic approach, looking at everything, right? So when you're working with a financial planner like our firm, it's not just okay, we're going to look at your investments and take care of this, or we're going to sell you an insurance policy. So it's really done through a much bigger process than just working with
an individual
product.
Right.
Right. So we're not just buying an annuity or buying a mutual fund. It's looking at your entire financial situation from budget and cash flow, assets, liabilities, and bringing that all forward to understand how does that fit into your financial goals now and in the future, and what can we do to help solve any pitfalls or shortcomings that we have.
You know, Chris, we always ask about why is it so necessary, and I think if there's one thing to me is that whole issue of the potentially the destructive behavior from not having something that you can go to. Talk about why that's so important.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look into the two biggest, I think, things that can derail a, you know, what either would be a good retirement plan, if you will, or a good financial plan, if you will, is making that emotional decision, letting emotion getting mm-hmm. into any of your decision making, trying to anticipate, especially with your investment accounts, you know, what the market will or won't do over a very relatively short period of time. So if you have a plan that you can go back to, if you know, hey, I'm not just planning for the next 1 to 2 years, but I'm planning for the next 20 to 30 years. And in, you know, younger families, longer cases, that I'm going to be able to wrap in educational planning, my own retirement planning, and really kind of have something in place that, hey, I'm not concerned with short to interim moves either in the market or, you know, if there's things going on geopolitically that, you know, mm-hmm. I make a decision. And it helps something that helps keep me accountable, not only in my spending, but in my savings. If we have put down a laid out goal of a savings percentage, either in retirement plan or in a savings bank account for each year, it's easier to stick to if you have a regular
no
meeting,
doubt.
Somebody, you know, in a lack of a better sense, keeping you accountable, helping you stay on the path, especially when we know that when we lay out something early on, life happens, things
yep.
change. So having the ability to go back and amend that as your life circumstances change, I think really helps keep people on track.
Guys, great discussion today. Certainly appreciate all your contributions throughout the year. Certainly a lot of people to thank. This station has done a great job. Greg, Kate, couldn't do the show without Gerald, our engineer, who's with us every week. We certainly encourage folks to enjoy themselves, enjoy your families over the next several days. We'll be back with one more show to clear out the year. Till then, this is John Rudy wishing all a Merry Christmas and saying thanks.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.
The average American spends more time planning vacations than they do planning for retirement, and that's a problem, given the length of time many folks will be living in the years to come. At Kingston Wealth Management, we help clients find a balance, which should allow them to responsibly enjoy life while maintaining financial viability. We have access to state-of-the-art software that can take all the variables into consideration as we develop a financial plan with you, not just for you. Client input is critical in coming up with a plan that does more than just sit on a shelf once it's produced. The team at Kingston Wealth Management is ready to go to work for you. Just give us a call at 663-9477 to set up a no-obligation appointment soon. Make the call today because time truly waits for no one. Kingston Wealth Management, financial solutions above and beyond.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.